So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
We go to Florida International University for the professor, infectious disease specialist, Dr. Eileen Marty. Dr. Marty, good morning. Reading today about blood tests that can flag a heart disease risk. It seems like every day now you're reading about a new test. The other day there was a story about the FDA approving a blood test for colorectal cancer screening among average risk adults in the country. So there's a lot of research in this area of blood work and testing, isn't there?
There sure is, Bob. So you know, over the last 2 decades, we've really increased our understanding of how cells work and the individual molecules that are really, really important, and also how, you know, cancers work. So when you talk about, you know, circulating tumor DNA, which is the test you were referring to for colorectal cancer, it's based on our sort of detailed understanding of, you know, what are the genetic changes or epigenetic changes that cause cancers. And when you're talking about these other tests for, you know, cholesterol type tests, well, we were looking sort of at a big picture issue of, you know, do you have high density or low density lipoproteins, you know, the bad cholesterol, the so forth. Now we're looking at the actual details of individual molecules that really change significantly. So we're looking at something called lipoprotein A, which is it's that LDL, that bad cholesterol, that has a special little hook on it, the apple lipoprotein A on it. And that's, we see that very, very much in people with very high risks of cardiovascular disease and risks for, you know, a lot of, you know, making thrombi and having a real pro-inflammatory thing. So we can now test for that and be much more specific in what's wrong. The other thing that these new tests are doing is looking at ApoB. So there's two type of ApoB, and the one that it measures is the one that we find in these very low-density lipoproteins, the low-density lipoproteins, et cetera. And so seeing those, it's a really direct measure of the real risk for getting these plaques in your blood vessels that we call atherogenic plaques that increase your risk. And the other thing to consider is, what do we do about it, right? So if we measure these things, what do we do about it? And traditionally, we've used statin drugs. They're inexpensive. We can find them generically. They work, but they have some side effects that nobody likes. And some of them have worse side effects than others. But now there's a new whole group of drugs based on an enzyme called protein proprotein convertase subtilisin kisin type 9, or PCSK9. And this protein actually degrades a receptor, the LDL receptor. Remember, LDL is the bad cholesterol. And if you have a receptor for the LDL, you can get rid of LDL. But this enzyme gets rid of the receptor. So it's kind of like a triple negative situation here. By getting rid of this enzyme, you have more of the receptors that get rid of your bad cholesterol. Hmm. So we have two ways of getting rid of it. One is with monoclonal antibodies, and there's a couple of drugs that work that way. And one, which is the least expensive, believe it or not, and works brilliantly, is a small interfering RNA that tells your body, don't even bother making this nasty enzyme. So it interferes with the making of the PCSK9. So that's sort of a lot of combined good news, that we have new medications that are extremely effective, less likely to give you any kind of side effect, and that we can be very targeted as to who we give these medications to by measuring these, this lipoprotein A and ApoB.
Yeah, it seems like the whole world is on statins. Is there, you think, a time in the very near future that those drugs you mentioned will take the place of the statins?
They're already taking the place of the statin. The big issue is cost. okay? Statins maybe cost maybe $100 a year total, whereas the least expensive one, which is, of course, the one I mentioned, the small interfering RNA, costs $6,500 a year. And some of these monoclonal antibodies that exist, those can cost $14,600 a year. So there's a huge cost difference between the statins and these drugs right now. But, you know, with market pressures, et cetera, and how long the patents last, et cetera, that can all shift. Eventually, because the making of these things are not as fancy as you would think. It doesn't necessarily have to cost that much. It's just, you know, how our market system works.
There's a story in the news today. I know for various reasons you're interested in this. Sharks in the waters off Brazil have tested positive for cocaine. How does cocaine get into the waters, into the sharks?
Right. So it gets, first of all, it's not just sharks, but it enters the marine ecosystem by sewage discharge, because our bodies will release the cocaine and some of the, you know, the derivatives of cocaine when we use the toilet, right? Also, illegal drug production facilities can get it in there, and sometimes dumped drugs into the water can be the problem. So it's been found in sharks, but also mussels and oysters and lots of other fish besides sharks. And we know that, I mean, what you're referring to is the study on the Brazilian sharp-nosed sharks that have 100 times higher than previously recorded levels, which is incredibly significant. Part of this problem is related to climate change, though, because climate change is changing the acidification of the water because of the increase in carbon dioxide in the water, and that lowering of the pH amplifies the effect of cocaine on these marine animals. And also it alters the bioavailability of cocaine. And so this is a real synergistic effect. These marine animals then have all kinds of consequences. One of the things that happens, for example, is that the cocaine will concentrate in their gonads and affect their mating behavior and affect their ability to produce offspring, and even change the methylation of their DNA so that they have stuff that they pass on to their offspring. We call epigenetic changes, and that's a real serious concern, and we don't really know how it affects their behavior very well. We do know that it affects, like, crustaceans that get a lot of cocaine. Those have increased behavioral changes, and again, if you think about mussels and oysters having this increased cocaine, think about the next time that you eat mussels or oysters, you're inadvertently getting a little cocaine with your mussels and oysters. So there's a lot to this story.
Yeah, and I was going to be healthy tonight and eat fish. I think I'll have a steak.
Yeah, well, fish is good.
Got to be careful with everything. It's Dr. Eileen Marty. Thanks, Dr. Marty. We'll talk to you next week. Have a good day.
Thanks. Take care. Bye-bye.